Of Christ Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here waiting for Y, O, and U. Come on in, y'all.
All right, well, we praise God for each of you as you prepare to join us tonight, and we're certainly grateful for how God has blessed us and sustained us throughout this day, and we understand clearly that we're nothing without God and that we can do all things through the very Christ that strengthens us. And so we get excited about this study for tonight. We're going to be in the 24th chapter of 2 Chronicles as we prepare for tonight's study. And Lady Kim, we're moving right through 2 Chronicles, and we see another shift in the leadership that's going to take place here tonight in terms of the king. But we're certainly grateful for each of you. Let us know you're getting a clear signal and that we're coming in clear on your end. And we're certainly grateful for each of you who continue to participate in this Monday manner and a part of this time that we spend together. We know indeed that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we believe that your faith is going to increase even tonight, and we welcome your participation. Well, let's prepare for this time together tonight as we go to God in prayer. God, we're extremely grateful for your grace and your mercy and for how you yet look beyond our faults and get right to our needs.
Thank you,
we thank you for forgiving us of our sins, and we pray that you will continue to order our steps and lead us in the way in which you would have us to go. We thank you for your keeping power and for how you bless us even in spite of ourselves. And we pray for each person on the call tonight and those who will hear this particular study by playback. We ask the Lord that something will be said or done that will lift spirits, that will encourage someone, and perhaps even give someone an understanding that they didn't know about before they dare to come and be a part of this study. So we ask now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight.
Yes,
you are our strength and our Redeemer. So we love you and we honor you, and yes, we thank you now for being our God. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God said amen.
Amen.
Somebody give God a thumbs up and a heart to let us know that you're with us tonight as we are preparing for this time together. Got a message that all signals are clear. All the signals are clear. So another exceptional weekend around ATOP as we gathered and as we participated in the worship experience as well as the other activities that continue to happen. We're having almost a full packed weekend each weekend now around ATOP. And we praise God for him sustaining us in the midst of it all. And so we're not complaining. We know that God gives us the anointing that we need for what he has in store for us. And the higher the level, God increases the anointing for us to be able to succeed. I feel another service about to erupt, Lady Kim. I believe we might need to go to an 8 o'clock service and see how God is going to, let your eyebrows down a little bit. See how God is going to move in the life of the people. But God has been extremely kind toward us in this season.
Yes, he has.
And we have been praying and seeking God's face under our theme and asking for laborers in the vineyard and for the harvest and the increase. And God answered our prayers. I mean, it's just amazing how when you're steadfast in the things of God and when you believe that God's going to do something, it doesn't take very much. It doesn't take very many people. But where two or three are gathered together in his name, and when you get someone to touch and agree and believe with you around what you're asking God to do, some powerful things can happen.
Yes, they can.
Yes.
Amen.
So on yesterday, we had another powerful service and baptismal, of course. And then, I'll let you talk about that, and we'll tell them what happened after the service that a lot of people didn't get a chance to witness when we were in the office in our staff meeting.
Amen. You let me talk about
the service first. Okay. However you put whichever order, whichever ways you want to go, Reverend, you can go ahead and do it.
Well, as you said, we had an awesome time in service on yesterday. You preach from the topic, there is an eagle in you. There's an eagle in you. And from Isaiah 40, the 40th chapter, and just one verse, verse 31.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very familiar passage of scripture for those who have been hanging out and hanging around the church for a while. I know you've heard this passage of scripture read or taught or cited. And it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Okay.
And so your basic thought pattern was that we're designed to soar.
Okay.
And when we're designed to soar, that means we are designed to rise above our situations and our circumstances, rise above our strains and our struggles. Those who wait on God will soar. And God has intended, as God has intended, and God has called us to soar and rise above our circumstances. I just said that, didn't you?
No, that's good. That's good.
That's one of the things that I wrote down, and look, it's saved in there this week.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And you had just 2 points that God shows up when it's not enough, and God shows up when it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a preparation time for soaring.
Right.
And that preparation time is when we're in that waiting or holding pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I thought about when you talked about soaring was that that before you soar, you've got some work to do.
Okay.
And then I thought about the eagle,
mm-hmm.
since you said, you know, there's an eagle in us.
Right.
I thought about the eagle and what the eagle has to do before he begins to soar. And the eagle has to put in some work before he begins to soar. He has to flap his wings hard for a long distance. I said I was going to look that up, but I didn't have time today. I was quite busy today. But the eagle flaps his wings hard, so that's the work that's incurred before he begins to stretch out his wings and soar in the air. So he has to get that momentum going.
Okay.
And so a lot of times we want to soar or rise above our circumstances. We think it should be something like the snap of a finger,
mm-hmm.
that we're in the struggle right now, and then all of a sudden we're out.
Right.
Well, God can have it that way.
Right.
But most of the time he designs us to struggle, just like the caterpillar inside that cocoon before it becomes a butterfly. It has to struggle to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And once it has struggled and has come out of the cocoon, then it sits there and rests and flaps its wings.
Okay.
And it flaps its wings so that it can dry off. But then again, it's a struggle, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And once the butterfly's wings are dry, he can take off and soar. So that's two good examples of soaring that we can hang our hats on.
No, that's good, Lady Kim, because even as you were talking about that, many times we want to take away the struggle
mm-hmm.
that's necessary in order to strengthen us for what God has designed us for. And when you take away that struggle, then you'll never mature to the place that God would have you to be. And so we don't want to deal with the hardship and the difficulty and the preparation, as you indicated, for what it takes for us to soar. And so many of us end up not really experiencing the eagle in us, and the eagle never comes forth because we have not put in proper preparation. And the other thing I think I mentioned was about the discipline of waiting and how that's oftentimes one of the most difficult disciplines of the disciple, is to wait for God to do what he said he would do.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, waiting is hard.
Yeah.
Because we want things right now.
That's
especially
right.
In this age of instant gratification. Mm-hmm. You know, we pop something in the microwave and warm it up right quick. Or, you know, we turn on the TV and stream a movie. We don't have to wait to go to the movie theater or drive to the movie theater anymore. And, you know, just things we want instantly. We turn on our computers and we look on our social media page and we see things instantly and in real time. So when it comes to waiting on our blessing or waiting on our circumstances to change, it's quite difficult sometimes.
Yeah, because that passage says they that wait upon the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so we want to get to the other part of it before we understand that the process and there's preparation and then there's a pace that's connected to the promise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dr. Qualis was mentioning that yesterday as we were meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But God, the pace is left up to God and not to us. And so when we start a different rhythm or a different pace other than what God has set in motion, many times we get ahead of God or we miss God because God's trying to get something done in us and through us so that when he does release us and release that eagle in us, then we'll be able to receive it without, you know, trying to adjust to it once we've had it, because we've gone through the proper channels in order to fully appreciate what he's doing in our lives.
Amen. Amen. And so before we soar, we have to put in some work.
That's right.
And a lot of that work is in waiting.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Waiting is work.
That's right. That's right.
We have to wait for waiting for what has been revealed to what will be fulfilled. That's one of the things
okay.
you said that, you know, we have to wait on what has been revealed to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And in that waiting process, you know, God has revealed something to us, but we just in such a hurry, we don't want to wait for it.
Okay. I think you got yes. a comment there. A couple of comments maybe.
Yes. Dr. Q says, yes, the pace. We are governed by clocks and calendars, and God is not. God works outside of time.
That's good.
Yes, he does work outside of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talked about how God shows up when it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes when we're at our wit's end, when we don't have anything, when the meal jar is running low or running out, when there's only two fish and five loaves and 5,000 plus people, you know, when we're running on empty, that's when God shows up.
Okay. That's going to be part of one of your sermons that you're going to be
yeah,
preaching.
You were all in my sermon yesterday.
No, I bagged up out of there when I thought about you.
Gonna you were all in my sermon
But that's
yesterday.
Just preparation for what you, and hopefully give you some insight in terms of how you're going to expand more on that, because mm-hmm. I just referenced
that. You just scratched the surface.
Yeah, I just scratched the surface. There's a whole lot of meat left on that bone. But no, that's part of it. And then I talked a little bit about Lazarus and how Mary and Martha, yours really kind of, I don't know which one it was. I think it was Martha who met Jesus even before he entered the city.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really kind of
indignant.
Yeah.
Angry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, upset with
right,
Jesus.
Right.
How dare you wait?
Yeah.
How dare you wouldn't come when we called you?
Right.
Now our brother Lazarus has died.
Right.
Yeah,
and
she was upset.
Yeah, the whole reference point is that God, he shows up when he gets the glory, you
mm-hmm.
know. And many times we want to get the glory. We want to say it was me. I did this and this was all about me. But God will show up when there's not enough, and he'll show up when it's too late so that he might receive the praise, honor, and the glory. And make no mistake about it, you can't help but say it was nobody but
God. Nobody but God.
That's right.
Nobody but God. God shows up when it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up when it's not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think it's too late.
But
God
but
is
not
never
too late.
Too late.
That's right.
He's always.
He's always.
Oh, Lord. Let's
me,
move
me,
on.
Me. He's always right on time.
I was looking because I saw something that Sister Tamika had posted on Facebook, but I cannot find it. It was so good.
On the ATOP Facebook?
I'm not sure. Here it is.
Okay.
It says, and she took this from the sermon yesterday. Thank you, Sister Tamika. Do not be stationary. God has called you to soar, not to get caught up in what you see in the natural. There's something happening in the spirit realm that God has called you to do. You're in the between times for what the Lord has promised and what he's about to reveal. It's the pace of the promise that controls what will be revealed versus what God is going to fulfill. Delay does not mean denial.
That's right.
God shows up when it's not enough, and he shows up when it's too late.
Yeah, that's powerful, isn't it?
Yes, she captured that well.
Yep, and so, you know, the word really, it saturates us, and it meets us at the point of our need based upon what we're going through, and many times it's not a word for everybody in the house. Sometimes
right.
it can be a single word for a group of people, or maybe even a couple of individuals that will receive the breakthrough and receive that the clearance, if you will, to take off, and that ego begins to come forth in them. And so that's the beauty of God's word, you know. And sometimes people say, well, Pastor, who told you my business? You know, you all in my Kool-Aid and all of that. But no, God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our pathway. And God has a way of ministering to us if we're open to receive the word. He's promised that he would supply all of our needs to his riches and glory.
Yes. Amen.
And so you had the workshop on Saturday, and then you had Sunday service, and then we had a little worship experience even after service on Sunday in the office.
Amen. We were in a staff meeting following service yesterday, and that somebody knocked on the door and said, Pastor, we have someone that wants to join church or be baptized.
Be baptized.
And lo and behold, two young people came in and both of them wanted to be baptized.
That's right.
And so we, Pastor took them in right there in the office, and we had prayer, and the whole family, there was a large family, the two older sisters, siblings, had been baptized that morning.
That's right.
And their little brother and sister wanted to be baptized So God, we just thank God for all that he's doing. Amen. Adding to the church such as should be saved. Those young people were excited too.
That's right.
So their excitement just made us excited. So God is growing and stretching ATOP and working in ATOP, and we are so godly proud and glad that God chose us to lead such a congregation where even the little children come running asking, what must I do to be saved?
Absolutely. And so they're going to be baptized this coming Sunday.
This Sunday?
Yeah. Wonderful. Dr. Qualis, I think she's on the call tonight. She had called Dr. Butler to see when she could teach the class. And one of the things that I emphasize, particularly with young people, we don't want to hold them out too long.
Right.
We don't want to keep them out the water too long, because so much is coming at them, so many things, so many vices and so many voices that are pulling at them. And the enemy gets busy when new members come and make that commitment. As George Rucker said, we are reaching for that 1,000. It's coming. It's on the way.
Amen.
And so we're believing God for increase and for the harvest, and even praying for more laborers to come and join us in the vineyard.
Amen.
Because even after we received those kids, the whole family just filled the whole office, and it was just amazing. And we made we extended an invitation for them to come back to worship. And perhaps they might even be there this coming Sunday. But we praise God for how he shall continue to add to the church. And then we had an exceptional time when we went out for the outreach aspect. And I tell you, Lady Kim, it's just, it's always something different every time we go out. I try to make it a point to go out. I don't care who it is, which group is being responsible, because God begins to move in different ways, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this time, yesterday, we didn't have, we about to run out of food because so many people were coming. I mean, it was like the ice cream truck pulled up and people were coming from everywhere. And so we had to pull back because we had another stop to make, mm-hmm. so that we wouldn't give away all the food before we got to where we were trying to go. But it's amazing how God began to, people wanting prayer and people asking, you know, where are we and how can they come and that kind of thing. And so the young people, I even took little Carter into the shelter with me. And I said, look, I was talking to him. I was holding his hand and explaining to him how blessed he was, mm-hmm. and how fortunate he is to have a place and have a home. And I want you to see this so that you can know that God has really been good to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are just little seeds that you plant, because you never know. And he's a smart young man. You never know how God will allow that to resonate in his spirit in terms of him understanding just how blessed he really is.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right. Well, we're running a little behind time, but this has been a great weekend that we've experienced. We didn't even talk about the workshop that happened on Saturday, and the group was kind of divided because we had a funeral to attend, and how did that go, Lady Kim?
Oh, it was awesome. Evangelist Patterson did an awesome job with the evangelism workshop. She broke us into five groups, and each group had two questions to focus on about evangelism and how we would approach things. And
mm-hmm.
So it was great. And then we had discussion following that. Each group reported back. So we had a wonderful time talking about evangelism. And so our next workshop is this coming Saturday on outreach.
Okay. Dr. Cornelius is going to be teaching them, mm-hmm. right?
And then we're going to go out and canvass the neighborhood.
On Saturday, yes.
To invite people to the Fall Harvest Festival and to church on Sunday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be exciting. And the area right behind us, for those who are not aware, it's saturated with young kids and with probably single family households. So we want to encourage as many of you as possible to come and join us. And we won't hold you long, but we're going to just try to get people motivated and excited about you. So see, we have to get out of behind the four walls and reach people where they are. And then we have to extend the invitation. Many times we just think, because we are there, that people are going to come.
Yes.
But we have to get outside and we have to meet the people and have to greet them and encourage them. And then we don't have to wait till Sunday morning to extend the invitation for someone to come to Christ.
Right.
And so part of what we are excited about is that we've now brought on our new youth director, and he has a lot of energy and ideas, and we're going to have a major harvest festival, mm-hmm. on Sunday between 2 and 4. And so I have a bag of candy Lady Kim brought in here. You see this big old bag. Uh-oh, I'm wasting it all out. But we need you to bring some candy by the church. Don't worry about that on the floor, Lady Kim. I get it.
Why did it fall out?
It's a little hole. It's a hole in there from where I got, and it's Almond Joy looking at me right here trying to say, eat me. I tell you, she brought that in here before we went on. But if you haven't had a chance to go purchase some candy, because we're expecting a full crowd,
yes.
on Sunday, and we have a setup that's really going to be conducive to, you know, and getting people's information. And not just having them to rush through the line and pick up candy. But there's going to be a lot of different things going on. Tell us,
yes.
a little bit about some of the things. And I know we are far away from our study, but this is important because this is a part of the outreach and evangelism that we're talking about.
They said, Pastor, been in the candy.
Yeah, it's already a hole in the candy.
Y'all busted it.
This
busted.
Is a good bag. It looked like it came from Costco. This is one of those good bags.
It came from Costco.
It's a mixed bag.
Don't worry, y'all. I'm going to get five more bags. People gave me money on Sunday. Five people gave me money on Sunday. I'm going to get five more bags, okay? And I'm going to take that bag and I'm getting ready to hide it, okay? So he don't get no more candy.
Somebody shout joy. I'm a joy.
Jesus joy. we're going to have stations. We're going to do something different than we've done in the past. It's going to be awesome, phenomenal. We're going to have stations, games in between each car. Mm-hmm. We're going to have hot chocolate station, a movie station,
face painting,
tattoos.
They're going to have popcorn in there?
I believe so, yes.
Hayride.
So wow. We're going to do it up this
year. In the trunk or treat as well.
Yes, we're going to have a game in between each car. So we asking you to decorate your cars and bring them out. It starts at 2, so we're going to be out there probably at 12:30 getting set up, or 12 o'clock getting set up, 12:30. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So invite your family members, friends, and neighbors. Now, that was supposed to be for after Bible study.
But yes. We were just kind of talking about it. It felt right in line with the whole process about evangelism and outreach. And some people on this particular call tonight may not be aware of how much we need them to participate in what we're trying to do to capture the community right behind us. And we know that it's saturated. And I believe the more people we get to participate, we probably can get, if we get 10 people to come to church, if we can get 20 kids that get excited about coming, you know, if we can get 50 kids, you know, wouldn't that be a major difference? And so we need all hands on deck and all people who are able. We're going to take the bus out, too, in case you're wondering about trying to walk. No, we're going to have the bus where we let people off and they can go in a cove in a different section. And we go 2x2 and we make sure that everybody is covered and that we're watching the environment and the situations as we go out. All right, Lady Kim said we way past our time in terms of getting into this word, but what did Dr. Quality say? You could at least try to hide it. She's talking about the kid. Oh, well, that's another discussion for another time.
Don't worry, I got it. I got
so,
the
kid. I got two pieces.
I left the bag on the table. Yep. This is what happened.
It's a hole in the end of it, and it's all kind of goodies in there. But we're going to move on right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, we're in the 24th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And Lady Kim, this is a very interesting chapter. And we see that Joash, he's taken the reins now. Mm-hmm. And he was a young man.
Yes, he was when he started to reign.
As a matter of fact,
very
they
young,
said
how, 7.
7 years old.
7. Can you imagine Carter being the king?
I know. Well, he's got it in him. But, you know, This is prime for us, even as we're talking about children, because God, you know, can use even the little ones. I think God's more interested in availability than he is our ability. Mm. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, that's
and
good.
So many times we get caught up in the gifts that we have and the maturity that we're all about. And so we walk around trying to impress people with what we have, but we don't make ourselves available to be used by God.
Amen.
And so just like when we go out for the outreach on Sundays, on the fourth Sundays, it's about availability, you know. And so a lot of people have kind of shied away from that and not making themselves available. But we had some people for the first time who had experienced that this Sunday, this past Sunday, and they were completely impressed and they were amazed at how that ministry reaches beyond the walls in terms of touching the lives of those who are less fortunate and those who are struggling. Mm-hmm. So Joash was how old? 7 years old?
7 years old.
And one of the things that we find here that he took on the characteristics of King David and all of those who started out.
Great. Grandfathers.
Right. Mm-hmm. In terms of them leaning close to following the mandate that God had prescribed and being obedient to the things of God and honoring God because they had gone through a turbulent time. And Joash finds himself trying to really right the ship and get things back on track in terms of the importance of them really turning away from the wickedness that had been established and turning back to God. Mm-hmm. But here's one thought before you read, Lady Kim, and I think how many verses are there?
I think there are 27.
Yeah, 27 verses.
Okay.
But here's one of the things that I found in my study Bible. It talks about motive. Mm-hmm. It says, why you do determines what you do. Mm. So that kind of sounds a little awkward, but why you do is what you do. In other words, your why has to match what you're trying to do and not just go out and start doing something mm-hmm. without having rationale behind why you're doing it.
Amen.
And so that's your right. Why you do determines what you do. Mm-hmm. And so if God has called you to it, then he'll see you through it.
Amen. Yes, he will.
And so this young man was called, 7 years old. And how long did he reign? He reigned for
40-something years. Yeah. 40 years.
40
so
years.
Yes, 47 when he mm-hmm. stopped reigning.
But okay.
Yes,
all
from
right.
7 to 47, yes.
What did Dr. Tunstall say there?
He said, fat, faithful, available, and teachable.
Okay, that's the acronym for FAT.
Yes.
Faithful, available, and teachable.
Yes.
That's right. That's what we have to be, right?
Right.
We
got to
be
yes.
FAT.
FAT.
That's what he's saying. That's
okay.
good.
Got that. Yeah,
uh-huh.
I got it.
Gotta
faithful, be faithful, available, and teachable.
Yeah.
Got to be FAT.
That's
yes.
right. That's right. So thank
a different
you,
kind of fat.
That's right. That's right.
Fat with the word.
Fat with that word. Being
faithful,
available.
And teachable.
And teachable.
Yes.
That's good.
All right.
Why don't you go ahead and read what you want to read, half of that, and see.
I think a good break is stops at the 14th verse.
Okay. All right.
Okay. We're going to, I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. It helped me really to understand it just a little bit. More. At first, I was reading from the King James Version, but we're in 2 Chronicles 24, mm-hmm. starting with the first verse. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Ziblah of Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of priest Jehoiada. Jehoiada got two wives for him. And he became the father of sons and daughters. Sometimes afterward, Joash decided to restore the house of the Lord. He assembled the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out to the cities of Judah and gather money from all Israel to repair the house of your God year by year, and see that you act quickly. But the Levites did not act quickly. So the king summons Jehoiada, the chief, and said to him, why have you not required the Levites to bring in from Judah and Jerusalem the tax levied by Moses, the servant of the Lord, on the congregation of Israel for the tent of the covenant?
Mm-hmm.
For the children...
Did it say the tent of the covenant?
Tent.
Oh, okay, tent. Okay.
The tent of the covenant.
Okay.
For the children of Athaliah, that wicked woman... had broken into the house of God and had even used all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord for the Baals.
Mm-hmm.
So the king gave command, and they made a chest and sent it out and set it outside the gate of the house of the Lord. A proclamation was made throughout Judah and Jerusalem to bring in for the Lord the tax that Moses, the servant of God, laid on Israel in the wilderness. All the leaders and all the people rejoiced and brought their tax and dropped it into the chest until it was full. Whenever the chest was brought to the king's officers by the Levites, when they saw that there was a large amount of money in it, the king's secretary and the officer of the chief priest would come and empty the chest and take it and return it to its place. So they did day after day and collected money in abundance. The king and Jehoiada gave it to those who had charge of the work of the house of the Lord, and they hired masons and carpenters to restore the house of the Lord, and also workers in iron and bronze to repair the house of the Lord. So those who were engaged in the work labored, and the repairing went forward at their hands, and they restored the house of God to its proper condition and strengthened it. When they had finished, they brought the rest of the money to the king and Jehoiada, and with it were made utensils for the house of the Lord, utensils for the service and for the burnt offerings and ladles, the vessels of gold and silver. They offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord regularly all the days of Jehoiada.
Okay. So Jehoiada had a tremendous influence on this young king. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah.
And he really instilled within him the way, you know, in which he should go. Even though he was, Joash was 7 years old when he started, prophet Jehoiada, he was the priest. He really made sure that he instructed him in the proper way, in terms of, he kind of reminded me of Solomon in terms of how he was meticulous about making sure in his restoring of the temple that he hired the right people and he hired skilled workers and he got some of the best. And then they sent out a decree for everyone to participate in the giving of what it was necessary in order to rebuild and restore the temple.
Yeah. Amen. And so it's important. What I got of it is it's important for the people of God to care for the house of God.
Okay.
They had to rebuild because Athaliah, the wicked woman, we talked about her last week, how she misled the king and had him do all kind of wicked things, putting up idol gods and so forth. And so Joash is trying again to rebuild the temple from where she
had destroyed and stole
all the things and used them for Baal worship.
That's right.
Took things out of the house. And because I read in a commentary that before Joash even began to reign, that the temple had fallen into disrepair. And so that's just like living in a house, and you live in a house for 30 years and you never paint, or you never, you know, remodel, or you never do any upkeep, and it just starts to fall apart. And so it was time to rebuild, or, you know, remodel the temple and replace the items that she had used for Baal worship.
Okay. One of the scriptures that really, I think it's in verse number 5, it says, then he gathered the priests and the Levites, and he said to them, go out to the cities of Judah and gather all of Israel's money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you do it quickly. And so when I saw that, sometimes it's a thing that has to happen quickly. It's not a thing that where you have to procrastinate and you have to try to come up with a strategy and all of that.
Right.
When the decree goes forth and God has already sanctioned it by the priest, and the king is on point, then it's time to do the work.
Amen.
It's time to move quickly. And so God has to give us that kind of quickness in terms of fulfilling a particular. I think we're in a season now, Lady Kim, where we have to act quickly.
Amen.
We can't continue to procrastinate and wait. You have to move now, because it's time to strike the iron while it's hot. And I believe God is going to, as Sister Georgia indicated, Minister Georgia indicated, that we can reach that and beyond 1,000 members. I mean, that's adding to the kingdom. And everybody might not come to ATOP, but we can, if we strike quickly, if we move quickly, then I believe God is going to honor our faithfulness. And if we have the faithful, if we're faithful, if we're available, and if we're teachable, somebody put some more fat in there. If we're able to stay fat, God's going to do some powerful and marvelous things to us. And even though we're getting ready to close out the year, you know, we can close out on a high note, and God can get even, God wants to get the glory.
Yes.
He wants to get the glory, greater glory. Mm-hmm. And so I believe it can happen. Somebody type fat in there. Come on, somebody put it in the margin, fat.
Yes, fat.
It's good to see Sister Valerie Rankin on the call tonight as well. And so we might get a t-shirt made. I see Sister Monique on there. We might have to get us a t-shirt made with fat on
it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Faithful, available, and teachable.
That's right. That's who we are. Yeah. All right, Lady Kim. Well, I know the time is getting away from us because we're going to see here in the end where Joash is really, he took a turn and some things happened and his demise came to pass, even though he reigned for, what, 40 years?
Yes.
Okay. You want to go ahead and read that? I know we lingered a lot on talking about, you know, other things, but you want to read that now? Is there something else you want to share before we go to
the book? We can go on. We're going to start at verse 15, and it says, but...
Monique said, I got you, Pastor. That might work right there.
Yes.
I like that. Go ahead.
We're on verse 15 of 2 Chronicles, the 24th chapter, for those who are joined in late. But Jehoiada grew old and full of days and died.
Okay.
He was 130 years old and he's dead.
This was the priest now that was instructing Joash and keeping him in line and instructing him in the ways of God and making sure that he would follow the old path, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Verse 16, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel and for God and his house. And that's unusual.
That's right.
That he be buried among kings.
That's right.
Last week, they didn't even bury the king among the kings because he was so wicked and
That's
had
right.
done so awful.
Mm-hmm.
But this week they're burying a priest
mm-hmm.
among the kings. Verse 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and did obeisance to the king. Then the king listened to them. I had to look that word up.
Okay.
And I don't know if I'm even saying it, obeisance to the king, but that word means that they bowed down and curtsied and gave the king reverence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
What translation
are you reading?
I'm in the New Revised Standard, but it also said that in the King James Version, too.
Okay, okay.
Verse 17, do you see that word? Word?
It says they bowed down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it says they did obeisance to the king, and the king listened to them. They abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and served the sacred poles and the idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this guilt of theirs. Yet he sent prophets among them to bring them back to the Lord. They testified against them, but they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God took possession of Zechariah, son of the priest Jehoiada.
Mm-hmm.
He stood above the people and said to them, "Thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you." But they conspired against him. And by command of the king, they stoned him to death in the court of the house of the Lord. King Joash did not remember the kindness of Jehoiada, Zechariah's father, had shown him, but killed his son. As he was dying, he said, "May the Lord see and avenge." That stops at verse number 22.
All right. So really what's happening here, these foreign kings came, I mean, these foreign, what did they call them? These leaders of Judah came and they bowed down to the king and the king listened to them, but they had an ulterior motive, obviously.
Yeah, they wanted Joash to revert back to worshiping idol gods.
Right, right.
And Joash listened to them.
That's right.
And they sent Jehoiada's son, Zechariah, to tell him, no, this is wrong.
Right.
You know, Zechariah went to the people
mm-hmm.
who came, these men of Judah who came to Joash
okay.
to tell him that they were wrong
okay.
for trying to set up idols, idol gods.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, they conspired against him. And then they went and told Joash that, you know,
here's this man is over here trying to tell us what to do.
Yeah, he's wrong.
Right.
We said
right.
He's, and as a result, it said that Joash didn't even remember the kindness
of his
priest uh-huh. of Jehoiada.
That was his dad, right?
That was Zechariah's dad.
Right.
Yes.
And little did he know that out of all of the kindness that his dad had extended toward him.
Mm-hmm.
He forgot so quickly,
mm-hmm.
and he took it out on his son
mm-hmm.
in the negative way, not in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one who led in the killing of his son because he was trying to lead them in the right way.
Right.
Is that pretty much it?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so they stoned Zechariah
okay.
to death just for him speaking out against what they were doing. So that's where we leave off, you know, on that Joash didn't remember the kindness of Jehoiada.
And that last sentence in that verse says that, the Lord, when he died, he said, the Lord look on it and repay. And I think yours says something a little different.
May the Lord see and avenge
uh-huh.
as Zechariah was dying and
right.
they were stoning him.
Mm-hmm.
So those are powerful words.
Absolutely.
Yes. And then we're going to read these last few verses because we're running out of time. Verse number 23. At the end of the year, the army of Aram came up against Joash. They came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the officials of the people from among them, and sent all the booty they took to the king of Damascus. Although the army of Aram had come with few men, the Lord delivered into their hand a very great army because they had abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Thus, they executed judgment on Joash.
Mm-hmm.
When they had withdrawn, leaving him severely wounded, his servants conspired against him
wow.
because of the blood of the son of the priest Jehoiada, and they killed him on his bed. So he died, and they buried him in the city of David. But they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings.
Wow.
Those who conspired against him were Zabad, son of Shimea, the Ammonite, and Jehozabad, the son of Shimrit, the Moabite. Accounts of his sons and of the many oracles against him and of the rebuilding of the house of God were written in the commentary on the book of the Kings, and his son Amaziah succeeded him.
Is that the end?
That's the end. His son Amaziah succeeded him.
Did they say about where they buried him?
Yes, they buried him. They
but
did not
bury
him
among the kings.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That was in verse number 25.
Okay, mm-hmm. I see it.
So he died and they buried him in the city of David, but they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings.
Wow. Well, Reverend, that's back to what we were talking about earlier when we were talking about the motive. because Joash, he committed himself early on to restoring of the temple, right? And he remained true as long as the high priest Jehoadad was alive. And when Jehoadad died, then he was no longer the king. When he was no longer the priest, then the king reverted back to idol worship, and he responded to those who presented him negative ideas about what he should do. And so the motive is why you do determines what you do, and why you do something ultimately determines what we do. Mm-hmm. So we have to be careful about that motive, because many times people can influence you in such a way till you lose sight of what you really ought to be about.
Mm-hmm. And you know, nowadays people can make things seem so good,
right,
or it sounds so good, but because it sounds good doesn't mean it's right.
That's right. That's
right. You know, there are a lot of counterfeits, a lot of fakes out there.
That's right.
It might look good. Yeah, it might look good, but it's not good.
That's right.
And so we have to be careful not to have a God substitute.
Okay.
Not
okay.
to substitute things of this world and put it in place of God.
Okay. We have to beware of being seduced by substitutes. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And so we know that God is the ultimate way, the truth, and the light. And so we have to be clear in terms of staying positive in our direction and making sure that our why matches what we do.
Amen. And you know, the amazing thing about it is what Zechariah said came true, didn't it?
That's right.
The army of Aram
didn't even have that many people.
They said had a few people in the army and wiped them out because they were dead.
Yeah, and didn't kill him, left him wounded, and then
his own people
turned on him,
killed him,
and went on and took him out.
Yes.
That's sad.
Amen.
After all of the good he had done. And, you know, many times when we hear the story about Joash, we think, we stop when we talk about him being a young king and how he started out early. But his tragedy came in terms of not listening and being influenced by those who were leading him the wrong way.
And not remembering what he had been taught Jehoadad walked with him and taught him, and for him to so easily revert back to that idol worship is unbelievable.
Killed his son, and,
oh my goodness,
and just took off in a whole nother direction.
Yes, how easily influenced we can be.
That's
but
right.
One of the things that I've learned, you know, in my class, is we talk a lot about the world behind the text.
Okay.
What the world was like during that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And the world behind the text, if you can imagine a triangle, the people at the very top, there were very few people at the top that were in power.
Okay.
And everybody else was down here at the bottom of that triangle. They were peasants and slaves and poor folks. And so the majority of people were at that bottom realm.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people at the very top, those kings, they were ruthless.
Yeah.
They weren't nice like they're made out to be in these fairy tales and in these, you know,
right.
books.
Right.
They were ruthless. They would kill people. They would slaughter people.
Take possessions.
They would
land.
Go to war, and they took whatever they wanted. They took people's lives, and we heard where in Amram, when they came in, what did they do? They carried off the booty and gave it to the king in Damascus.
That's right.
So they plunder and they take all the gold and silver and everything else, and they take it away. And that's how those kings gained power, by taking over other countries, smaller countries, and enslaving those people and taking all their stuff. And so we see here again that it's happening again.
Okay.
You know, they killed Joash.
So that was the world behind the text.
That's world behind the text.
And so many times you have to explore that in order to get the full essence of what God is trying to get us to understand. because that's applicable for us even today. And you look at the ones who are in power and those who are really trying to control everything that's happening. It's a small minority that's controlling the majority, and it's the wealthy people of it. They all of, they're not kings, but some of them consider themselves to be kings. But they have the wealth and they have the power, and they'll do whatever is necessary in order to maintain their wealth, and in order to, even if they have to step on people and and kill people and set up devices that, like selling drugs and all of that, and putting it into these communities so that they can continue to have the influence and the money and the power that they need in order to be, by the world standards, successful.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You have a couple of comments there.
Some people have praise, have prayer requests.
Okay.
So,
well, the time is upon us for these prayer requests, and we're certainly grateful for each of you who have participated in this study tonight. Was that Dr. Crystal I saw on?
Dr. Crystal was on. Okay. She told me earlier she would be on.
Okay, all right.
She had another meeting, but she said she was going to try to get on, so we thank God for her tonight. Dr. Tunstall has another acronym.
Okay.
Ego. Ease God out.
Okay.
So don't have an ego.
Right.
Don't ease God out. Yeah.
That's good. So we praise God for each of you. If there are any prayer requests, go ahead and list those now as we're preparing to close out tonight. This has been an excellent study. And next week, we're going to pick up in the 25th chapter of 2 Chronicles to see what God is up to and how he's going to continue to show grace and favor. You know, and it's amazing how God continues to extend that grace even when there are ruthless and there are people who decide that they're not going to adhere to what he's trying to instruct. God has a way of moving those out of the way, and he'll put somebody else in place that will be obedient. Obedience brings the reward.
Amen. There's a prayer request for Sister Mary Liggins and Sister Antoinette. They will be traveling next week.
Okay.
So we lift them up in prayer.
Did they say where they were going? No, I'm just joking.
Prayers for the Final Leadership Institute workshop on this coming Saturday.
Okay.
Sister Deborah Taylor is asking for prayers for her family. I know Sister Theron C. lost an aunt and an uncle.
Wow.
The aunt's memorial service was today, and her uncle's funeral was on this past Saturday in Illinois. And then, of course, Sister Jessie Bradley and the loss of her sister. Mm-hmm. That funeral was on this past weekend. Then Minister Loretta is asking prayers for her brother, Timothy Kinsey, and Gary Kinsey, her brothers. They're truck drivers.
Mm.
I want to lift up my brother, Michael Jones. He's also a truck driver, but he's experiencing some legal issues. And he said, and I said, told him that we were praying for him during intercessory prayer time. And I've been praying for him. And I said, I don't tell him what the issue is. I just ask for prayer. He said, I ain't ashamed. You can tell him. You can tell him, because I need specific prayers. I need people praying for me. So my brother Michael Jones and his legal issues and his family issues. Prayers for Sister Janice Wilson's friend, Linda Holloway. She had knee replacement surgery. For Amaya Wilson, her granddaughter. Amaya Wilson, her granddaughter. Y'all know I can't see that good. I'm struggling and straining over here. Sister Pat Eccles, who also had knee replacement surgery. We want to lift her up. So many on tonight. Don't forget, as we close out, this coming weekend plans to be an awesome time in the Lord with our final workshop and outreach. And then Sunday we will have our Fall Harvest Festival from 2 to 4 o'clock.
That's right.
So we want to see you out there. Pastor Marquise, bring that baby on out.
I know, right?
To the Fall Harvest Festival Sunday afternoon. We'll be glad to see you. You know I got a bag especially for Mercy. So
stop by.
Come on out.
Costco or Sam's and pick up a big bag of candy.
Yes,
we're going to need it.
Those who have not contributed, please pick up your bag of candy, okay? Mm-hmm. All right. If nothing else, let us go to God in prayer tonight. God, we thank you tonight. You've heard the prayer requests that have been mentioned, God. God, we ask that you will work on every person's need individually, God, and collectively. We pray for Amaya Wilson and Michael Jones. We pray for Pat Echols. We pray for Linda Holloway. We pray for Timothy and Gary Kinsey. We pray for the Taylor family. We pray, oh God, for traveling grace and mercies for Sister Antoinette and Sister Mary. We ask, oh God, that you would just watch over and keep them as they go. Heal those who need to be healed, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We ask, God, your prayers to be over the Leadership Institute that's going to take place on this coming Saturday. We ask, God, for your prayers to be over our Fall Harvest Festival as people from the neighborhood come, oh God. We ask that you would just draw them, oh God, and that you would increase as we decrease.
Thank you.
And we thank you for everyone on this Bible study tonight. We ask that you would continue to bless us and keep us and lead us until we meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
One more thing. Thank you for your love gifts on Sunday.
That's right.
A beautiful gift. Pastor got
That's
beautiful
right.
gift.
Excellent. Cards and everything.
Cards and gifts. We are so blessed
yes.
to have you as part of our ATOP family. And Sister Myra, I got you on your candy now. I'm going to pick up your candy this week. I had four other people other than Sister Myra to give me money for candy. So I got you all, okay? All right. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you all. Until we meet again. Good night.
Be blessed.